We'd like to bring the meeting to order. Will you call the roll?
Mike Lynch?
Here.
Jim DeMartini? Donna Riley?
Here.
Darren Garrett?
Present.
Lauren Klein?
Here.
Jeff Grover?
Here.
Michael O'Neill? Mandeep Dillon? Sam Sharp? Rhonda Biesmeyer? With Rhonda, we have a quorum.
Okay. Announcements. The, Jim is absent, as we know, and we have two others who are absent.
Yeah, we'll get to them.
Okay. The public comment section, we have a person who wants to make a public comment, so I'm obliged to read this disclosure. Matters under jurisdiction of the board may be addressed by the general public before or during the regular agenda. However, California law prohibits the board from taking action on any matter which is not on the posted agenda unless it is determined an emergency by the Board of Retirement. Any member of the public wishing to address the board during the public comment period shall be permitted to be heard once, up to 3 minutes. Please complete a public comment form and give to the chair of the board. Any person wishing to make a presentation to the board must submit the presentation in written form with copies furnished to the board members. Presentations are limited to 3 minutes. So, Mr. Gibbon here.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jeff Gibbon. I'm a fire engineer from the city of Ceres. I spoke with you guys last time on November 28, 2017 about my pending status for medical retirement disability where I was injured on duty. We had talked about last time extending, giving me additional time for me to be able to try and recover. You guys granted me additional 5-6 months, and I'm very, very thankful for that. Just wanted to give you guys an update as to what's going on with my status right now. Workers' comp is paying for absolutely nothing for me. No treatment, no medications, no physical therapy, nothing. So I have been trying to get into the physical therapist here in Modesto, California, Rita Thomas on McHenry, for a very long time. I've called it, tried using my own private medical insurance, which was very terrible at the time, and I was unable to get in to see her. So the last time that we've spoken to, there is basically a workers' compensation board of appeals that we were doing up in Stockton for Judge Alan Weber, and it was trying to get Ames to pay for medical treatment. The judgment was found in my favor and was found that I could have an actual primary treating doctor here in Modesto by the name of Dr. Dunleavy. And then Dr. Bunky, who is my surgeon I've been seeing up in San Francisco that's working on my arm, saving my arm, would be a secondary treating physician. I tried for months to get into Dr. Dunleavy, and his office explained to me that there was a death within the office, and they were not seeing or treating any additional patients. Dr. Bunky, being a secondary primary treating physician on the paperwork, it became null and void. I was unable to be treated by Dr. Bunky, by Ames, or through the workers' compensation that I have been for over the last year and a half, 2 years. So basically, instead of giving up, I fought back. I went out and got my own personal Blue Shield PPO policy where I'm spending over $500 a month of my own money so that I can try and recover. By doing this, it allowed me to seek medical treatment that I needed through the Bunky Clinic, attain the medication that I needed, and also the 10 options to attend physical therapy that I could pay for my own co-pays myself. I am Jeffrey Gibbon, paying my own medical treatment. I am paying for my own co-pays, for my own private medical, for me to get better. All the medical reports are still being sent to the work comp carrier Ames while I pay for the medical treatment. So basically what I've done is this is, since I obtained the health care insurance from Blue Shield, I tried the first of the year when it came into effect to get into Rita Thomas, the hand therapist. Here in Modesto is an occupational hand therapist. She's the best. Dr. Bunky highly rated her, and I tried very hard to get into her again. Once the policy came into effect, I found out she retired. First of the year, she retired from Northern California Rehabilitation Center in McHenry. So Dr. Bunky and myself, instead of giving up again, we fought back, and we have actually done a home physical therapy center in my house. I have a room that's set up. I've gone out with my own money, bought every single thing that you can find in the physical therapy for hands, arm bikes, fingers, anything you want weight-wise pulling, I have. But I have bought for my own money. I've also invested in cutting-edge technology that helps with nerve damage and nerve growth. I'm using a device that is made by a company called Oculus Rift. New studies have shown, even from the Bunky Clinic, that VR is helping in the recovery of nerve damage and also helping in the decreased pain of chronic patients. I actually contacted the company myself, explained the situation, had a working unit within my before me within 3 days. I'm trying anything and everything to try and get, you know, better to go back to work as a fireman. I've also lost 37 pounds in the last, since I've seen you guys, so that I could be able to return to my job position as a fire engineer for the city of Ceres, preparing myself, trying to make it so that I could actually return. I can say that the Oculus Rift device and the home physical therapy that I'm doing, Dr. Bunky has outlined a very detailed home therapy plan that I have that I follow every single day. I work 7 days a week at this. I have been completely able to stop all nerve drugs from my injury. I have also been able to decrease the pain medication a lot. Dr. Bunky has been watching the nerve grow. Since his last report dated 4/23/18, he has stated that there's more muscle spasms in the hand that has not worked for months or years. The sensation in my hand is returning, and I'm taking less pain meds, and then I'll return to the clinic within 2 months. Dr. Bunky has explained to me that the muscle spasms that have now happening in my hand is a good sign that the ulnar nerve is growing and continuing to grow into the branches of the hand and the ulnar nerve distribution area of my hand. Pain is a good sign, Dr. Bunky always tells me, and if I wasn't having pain, he would be worried. The last meeting I had with the city was on June 11, 2018. The city of Ceres has granted me additional time to help with my recovery process. Last AME appointment was on April 6, 2018 by Dr. Donald Pang. He still has not rated me. He has actually done extensive testing in his office while I see him. He's seen that the nerve is growing. He trusts the Bunky Clinic, and he's allowing me to continue on with my recovery. The next AME appointment has not been scheduled at this time due to Dr. Pang granting me additional time. Dr. Bunky tells me every appointment that the nerve is continuing to grow and shows signs that the nerve is recovering. Dr. Bunky is happy with the recovery so far and is happy with my continuing home physical therapy as well as trying new ways to recover. I am asking you guys today, I know it's a lot to ask, but I'm asking for additional time so that I can continue to do my own home physical therapy since I have not received any medical help from the workers' compensation carrier. I'm trying. It is so difficult when I have to sit there and have all these letters show up to Niles, trying to get in, and I can't do it. I tried so hard to be able to continue on with the medical treatment through the workers' comp, and I just get roadblocks, and so I have to take this myself and use my own individual policy so that I can try and attempt to return.
Mr. Given, have you given the staff your statement? Do we have a copy of your statement?
No, sir. I have an extra copy here if you'd like it.
Yeah, I think we should have it just as part of the record. And we appreciate you coming in and keeping us updated.
Yes, sir.
We can't take action on this, correct?
We do in closed
session.
Session.
In closed session.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your persistence. Mm-hmm.
This one?
Yes.
Okay, next item is the consent calendar. Is there a motion?
I move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
Second. It's been moved by Mr. Grover, seconded by Mr. Garrett. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Okay, Ed, you're up. Is Ed up first?
No, this is six. Item 6A.
6A, okay.
All right. So this is item 6A, AB 2833, California Fee and Expense Disclosure Update. This will just be an information item only. Before we get going, I have a couple of things to brief you on that have to do with investments. They just fit naturally into this section. Last month, we updated you on the FFP process, and we asked to allocate approximately $143 million to Insight, additional money pending a final valuation. There was some concern there that if we redid the valuation based on changes in interest rates, that number may change considerably. I can tell you that we redid the valuation and interest rates actually ticked up slightly between the valuation date and the last time we did it. And the amount going to Insight is ending up to be $142,219,000. So it's actually lower than the amount that was approved by you folks last month. There's a couple announcements regarding our Greenfield investment, and I'll let Chris Wisdom talk about those.
Sure, thank you. So I caught up with Dean Sauter of Greenfield this month. Got a quick organizational update. Stan Nix, their chief operating officer, is announced he'll be leaving the firm at the end of the month. Been there 18 years. It seems like a lot of the principals there have between 15 and 20 years of service working together. And then got some initial stats on the recent GAP 8 fund that Stan Sayers decided to commit to. It will end with $145 million of commitments. This is significantly lower than the last Greenfield fund that we invested with, which was over $378 million, so less than half. And then it will have less LPs, less investors in the fund, whereas the last fund, GAP 7, at 25, this fund will have 6 LPs. So what that means for us is that this fund might not end up being as diversified as the last fund. I don't know that there's any other reasons for concern necessarily that could actually help the returns, could hurt the returns. We'll wait and see. Any other questions about that? Okay. Rick, do you want to move on to?
Yep, so this is item 6A. Again, it's information only, and Chris is going to give an update on AB 2833, the California fee and expense disclosure.
Yep, again, information only. So AB 2833 was a bill introduced to increase the transparency of fees that are paid to alternative investment managers. There's a number of things here, kind of, well, a brief outline of the bill. Basically, staff has reviewed all of the requirements of the bill. We think we're in full compliance based on the information that we show in our quarterly auxiliary investment reports. We do have a question with Hanson Bridget, our counsel, just to see if his their clients are doing anything wildly different, if there's something else we should be aware of, but our reading of it and the information that we're showing leads us to believe that we are in compliance and we plan to fully comply with any future alternative commitments.
Does anyone oppose this bill? I mean, it's standard.
It's passed, so I would expect that maybe some in the private equity industry might be opposed to it.
It is controversial a little bit in California because it seems to be closing the doors a little bit on some of the potential private investments that are out there that those firms essentially don't want to do business with California funds. There's been a lot of articles in Pension and Investments about this issue. I'm sure some of you have probably read that. But we have to abide by it, and so this is something that we're going to be doing until it's no longer required.
And we currently abide by it.
We do.
So, yeah.
Based on our analysis, we are completely, and we've been completely in compliance for probably well over a year, thanks to you folks who have actually asked us to put together certain statistics regarding these alternative investments. And we have been doing that, and coincidentally, some of those statistics are what AB 2833 was calling for. So it's actually worked out quite well for us. There is one aspect that we don't know for sure, whether some of our direct lenders are engaging in a certain practice regarding some fees. We're going to ask White Oak about that this week. But at first blush, when we've talked to our managers, they say no. But there's been some things in an ADV report that we've read from White Oak that leads us to believe that they may be getting fees from some of their portfolio companies that we may be required to disclose. So we're going to go over that with them either Wednesday or Thursday. I'm not sure which day.
Yeah, I have to get into the leads there.
But for all intents and purposes, to the best of our abilities and knowledges, we are completely in conformance with 2833.
Okay.
Okay. Next item is 6B. This is the quarter one 2018 auxiliary investment report. This is a information discussion item only. If you look at page one, this is a value-added analysis. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but if you go down to the bottom of the page, you'll see that this was a good quarter in terms of money added to the fund after the passive investment. It turned out to be about $2.8 million. A couple things. I'm not going to go over this in any great detail. There's a new column on the far right. It's called Dollar at Risk, and it's just simply the excess return or the what some would call alpha. I know that percentages sometimes, when we mix them with dollars, they're not taken very well. So we just converted that to a dollar an amount. And if you look at Dodge and Cox at the very top and you see that 2 cents there over to the right, essentially what that statistic says is for every dollar we place at risk by putting it with Dodge and Cox, they earn us 2 cents over the benchmark after we pay them fees. And so you can see to the second decimal point, a lot of this statistic is not even recordable down there. And in fact, if you look at the lower right number for the entire portfolio, you can see we had to go up to 3 decimal points to get a number there. So anything above, anything 1 and above is actually pretty, pretty good, in my opinion. But it's just another way of looking at the excess return in dollars instead of on a relative basis. That's all it is. On page 2, you'll see the total fees for Stansera, and we're hovering on an annualized basis of about 42 basis points. You can still see that alternatives are the biggest consumer of Stansera fees. Page 3 shows that information by in graphical form by asset class, discretion, and style. And if you look at style, you can see there that 36% of the total fees that Stansera paid are consumed by the private credit investment style. And then finally, page 4 has the all the information by manager himself. A lot of information on these pages. We obviously don't have the time to go over them, but it's worth one day sitting down and just looking at it and spending a little time with it. The next 8 pages relate to specifically what Chris was talking about, AB 2833 stuff, and pretty much everything on there, a lot of what's on there is required by AB 2833. It also shows the internal rates of return since inception. And we're doing well on some funds, we're not doing so well on other funds. In general, the direct lending funds are under what we had anticipated based on what our thoughts were and what we were being told when we went into those investments. But our real estate investments are more than compensating for it. And if you look at the total alternative portfolio since inception, you can see we're right, well, I don't know if you can see that I did the math before we got in here, and we're right at 8% for the entire alternative portfolio.
That's net.
After fees. So we are beating the actuarial discount rate. But individually, you got some winners and losers, which I think is what's to be expected. And then the final report I want to show you is page 14. This is the FFP portfolio shortfall report. I want to tell you, and I said this after the first quarter, that this result is way beyond our wildest expectations, and I truly believe that this is kind of an anomaly. We estimated that over 9 months we would have $16.3 million in shortfalls. We ended up with actual shortfalls of 16.1. That's a margin of error of 1.3%. I mean, that's not even really close to what I thought the error would be. I figured the error would probably lie around 10 to 15%. So I think that we have gotten lucky a little bit. I honestly do. And maybe I'm setting myself up for the bad months later on to come when we do really miss out. But this is not, I don't think this gets to the prowess of our prediction methodologies. So I think there's a little bit of luck that was involved in getting this close. I truly, truly do. So I wouldn't expect this going forward. But this is a really tight program that's really worked very, very well over the first 9 months. But again, we'll see where we go from here. And that's all I have on 6B. Any questions there?
Members, any questions? All right, Ed, are you up?
I think so. So let's see.
I'll get you going on 7B. You can just do 7A really fast here.
Yeah, okay, great. So the flash report is included, and you see fiscal year to date is now 8.3% through the end of May, which is great. June is a rocky month, so we'll see if we can retain that. But certainly a lot of the trade discussion so far has been difficult for the equity markets here and abroad. We take a look at the month, and you can see generally performance in line, slightly below on the U.S. equity side, so 2.6 versus 3.3% there. Similarly, in international equity, slight underperformance there, with LSV underperforming and Fidelity outperforming. That's good news on Fidelity front, because we had discussed some personnel changes there last time, so we want to keep a close eye on that and make sure that they're sticking to their knitting. U.S. fixed income is largely dominated by the liquidity program as part of the part of FFP, and then we have the government bonds. On the next page, page two, taking a look at real estate, these numbers are zero, indicating that we don't have the data rather than actual zero numbers in terms of the performance returns. The BlackRock real estate is a REIT, and so that actually did have a 4% return in line with the index. Little on the direct lending, as those are reported quarterly. And then we're seeing some nice outperformance for the month on the risk parity side, which is good. They had a little bit of underperformance. You can see Panagora underperforming year-to-date basis, so seeing a little bit of recovery there. And then infrastructure at the bottom.
Okay. Next up is item 7B. This is the annual asset allocation review. Before we move on to this item, I want to brief the board on what's transpired here. We do have three trustees out this month here. We've got Sam, we've got Jim, and who else is missing?
And Mandy.
They're gone. And I know that last month we had, the board decided to table this because there were three trustees out too. So I want to know what you guys want to do before we go into this wholeheartedly and spend the next half hour discussing this item.
Now, did you you talk to some of the trustees?
We did. We did not talk to Mandeep. I believe Chris talked to Sam.
I talked to Sam individually, right. And the rest we spoke to together.
Right.
Okay, so the only one who wasn't addressed, I know you talked to Jim, so.
Yes.
Yep.
Mandeep was the only one who didn't have a chance to talk?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Want to know what you guys want to do before we dive into this. Again, this... The reason last month was because there was three trustees missing, and we have the same situation today.
So we could take... Go ahead.
I think, in fairness, we probably should postpone it. I don't think it's mission critical that it be decided today.
No, we can put it up.
Is anybody here not going to be here next month that you know of?
Date for next month is 17th?
24th.
24th. I can purpose to be here.
All right, so is that the consensus? We want to pass on this for 30 days? This actually is a really significant decision.
It seems to be pretty weighty.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I know Jim wanted to be here, and he called this weekend and gave me his ideas. I don't think I remember all of them, or could say them all if I could remember them. I'm okay with the delay. What's the board consensus?
It's good for me. I mean, I just feel it's fair.
Okay.
Is everybody that's here going to be here next?
I am.
Then could I have a motion to delay this for a month? Put this over
I'll
for
make a motion to.
Is there a second?
Delay this till the August meeting.
July.
I'm sorry.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Motion carries.
All right. Item 8A, administrator or information technology.
One thing, if I may. So, we don't need this reproduced. I mean, we don't need it in our packet. We'll just keep it for our next meeting.
We can, but I'm sure we're going to reissue it to you guys.
Maybe we'll find some way to improve it. A lot can happen in 30 days.
That's a truth.
We're at peace with North Korea now and everything. So, you know how we.
Okay, so this is item 8A, Information Technology Solutions Project Update, and Dawn Lee will present this item.
We continue to move forward with our project with Tegrit. The Arrivo system is just moving right along. We are continuing to work on the calculators. We've been doing that for a while because there are so many different types, so right now we're focusing a lot on the buyback calculators. We have made tremendous headway in getting things ready for the being able to upload the contributions into the system and working with the employers on making sure that they're going to be ready to do that as well. We also, the data conversion is underway and things are improving there as well. So everything is moving along just as planned and we're still on time and on schedule and everything's going very well.
All right, thanks, Don.
And I just want to note that I sat in on the meeting and we are under budget and we're on time and under budget for where we should be on time. I'm always
so far
impressed with. But they did say that there could be a couple of things that might take a little more time in the future that may make the budget catch up to the time.
Okay, item 8B, this is the boardroom committee update, and Natalie Elliott will present this item.
We are moving forward with the tenant improvements for the new boardroom. The committee for the boardroom tenant improvements met on May 30th to discuss what we wanted the board to look like, and it was decided not to go with the same decor as the office because your boardroom should not be an extension of the office. It should be your boardroom. So we're going to go with a wood look of something like this, and I have additional copies if you want some. The dais will have the walnut wood panels with the aluminum strips in between each section of the dais, and the tabletops will not going to be granite or anything, but it will be a marble looking material. The architect and I met with the planning department for the city of Modesto today. The permit is approved. We're ready to move forward. We should be able to go out to bid with this project within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
And when will we have our first meeting?
First board meeting.
First
board meeting. Possibly December.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe we could have our
2020.
Yeah.
It's the government, like.
Yeah.
Probably if the county has anything to say about this progress.
Yeah. All right.
Natalie's doing a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Item 8C, this is the Education and Travel Ad Hoc Committee. And I'll turn this over to Kelly Gomes.
All right. We brought this item to you today as a result of the recent update that we did to San Sara's bylaws. Several things were taken out of the bylaws and intended to have policies made. The IGC felt that we should probably have an education / travel ad hoc committee to address building that policy and refining those. So we're coming to you today to ask for volunteers to be on that ad hoc committee. We'd like at least 2, no more than 3 trustees. If you have any questions, we've stated, you know, what the commitment level would be. We're expecting a couple of times a year. Obviously, once it's established, it wouldn't be as many meetings. But anybody want to volunteer? If not, I'll leave it open for a week or so. Rhonda?
We may be able to get Sam to do it, too, because I think he had some interest in this.
Yeah, I'll definitely reach out to the trustees who aren't here and give you guys an update. And if we don't get enough, you know, I'll make another pitch.
Yeah, if you don't get another one, if you don't get enough, I mean, I don't want the retirees to necessarily monopolize the opportunity. But if nobody else has time, I know we have time. It's a little more flexible.
There's a couple issues that are pretty important. One is the per diem. Since we instituted the per diem, there's been some mild complaining, which I totally get. So we're going to be looking at that item. And what was the other one that was important? The list of approved events. There seems to be a lot of questions, and we get people coming, and can we go to this event? Can we go to this event? So I think there probably needs to be a more efficient way of doing that.
And there was also talk about the need of possibly a formality of reporting how...
Reporting back.
Yeah.
Reporting back.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. We talked about that before, and actually we did it, and it just seems to kind of fall off the table.
Yeah. Right now, the current policy is that anybody who goes to something is supposed to prepare a written report.
That's actually the written policy?
That's in our, yes, and we have not been abiding by that, so we've got to really take a hard...
I started on the board. It was mandated. You had to put a written report together.
That's my fault.
I think that's totally fair. I mean, that justifies us going, right?
Yeah.
I think it actually protects all the trustees, too. But I think maybe with whatever the report, I never knew there was a report requirement. I don't know what the requirement is, but maybe we should come up with...
with a format.
A format.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'd be happy
to work on that.
Okay, great. Okay.
All right, good.
Those are the types of things we would like to establish and make sure that, you know...
Yeah. So I guess that you actually do go to the meeting.
Well, if you had the format and attach it with your travel stuff, you know, so that it's there.
Before you get reimbursement, you're saying?
That might work.
Let's not take it that far.
You're talking about board travel only, you're not talking about staff travel?
No, this would include rules on staff travel as well.
It would be all encompassing.
Yeah.
For educational purposes.
But I don't think we should make this a real cumbersome bureaucratic exercise. I think we can narrow it, focus it down.
Like an outline or something.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the report back?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we've got at least two volunteers already here.
Would pictures suffice?
It's
worth 1,000 words.
Probably not.
Not all.
We need to vote on establishing a committee, correct?
Yes. I don't know if we need to vote on who's on the committee.
No, but you need to vote on the establishment of the committee.
So is there a motion to establish a travel policy review committee?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay. And then, Rick, you'll contact those who are interested, and we'll come up with a draft and have it back at the next meeting. Okay, we want to go to members forum first because we're going to have an exec session. So we're going to do members forum, and then we'll do, in the exec session, we'll do the disability issue first. And then we can do the other issue after the board members excuse themselves. So members forum, let's start with Supervisor Grover.
I don't have anything.
Darren?
Nothing.
No, I just would like to say I really appreciate the TEDS training that we went to in New York. It was excellent.
And the training that I went to in New York, it was different than the TEDS. It was actually, and I didn't know this going in, but it was actually classes to become a certified fiduciary. And there will be a test. But there's a second session that I have to go to. But it's very interesting. I mean, very, very interesting stuff. Hopefully I'll get the opportunity to go to the second session and pass the test. That's it.
Nothing other than I'd like to say congratulations to Donna Riley for becoming the treasurer tax collector elect. Yes.
And I would like to thank Lauren for all of her support. Oh my goodness, she has been just really helpful in making the transition. It's been good work.
I have nothing to add.
Anyone else? Anything?
Nothing.
Okay. Is there a motion to go into exec session?
Second.
So now we have to turn off the mic, or?
Yes. Yeah, we'll say.
What's your afternoon?
Practicing.
Mine?
Now.
Okay.
There you go.
This isn't it. Why? Do you want to talk?
Don't get killed his finger.
Oh, it's Holly's for us.
Okay, the session is back, and we're back in public session, the board. And do we have a motion from executive session?
Yes, I have a readout from closed session regarding item 9A, approval of disability retirement for Jeffrey Given. Motion was made by Trustee O'Neill and seconded by Trustee Riley to accept the recommendation as follows: to acknowledge and approve the applicant Jeffrey Given is permanently incapacitated for a substantial portion of the essential duties of fire engineer with the City of Ceres Fire Department, and the application for Jeffrey Given for service-connected disability retirement be granted with the effective date of November 30th, 2011. A roll call vote was made. Motion passed 5-1, with the one being an abstention from Trustee Lynch.
Okay.
Also note that item 9B was pulled and will be brought back at the July board meeting. I have no other readout.
Unless there's anything else from the board members, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.